Praise God. Give it up for our musicians. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 7. Glad to have everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. And love our setup. The musicians get to have their own space. They were excited about that. And they booted us onto the ground, but that's all right. Amen. Amen. Turn around to somebody. Smile at somebody. Show them your pearly whites. Or your pearly yellows. Amen. Galatians 6, 1 through 7. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall ye have rejoicings in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I want to talk to you maybe on a few Wednesday nights, and we'll try to break down every one of these verses here. But I want to ask you a question, and that question is, are you spiritual? We meet a lot of people every day, and we're like, you know, they're not spiritual. they're carnal. You know what I'm saying? So the question is, are you spiritual? Why don't you look that person next to you, behind you, in front of you, and just say, are you spiritual? Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Amen. It's a question that everybody asks. But we live in a world that is filled with questions and filled with assumptions. Many times we judge, many times we appraise, and many times we survey people and things without even knowing we are doing this. It's just kind of in our DNA. It's just how we're built. We judge by appearance. We appraise by condition. We survey and make assumptions based on what we see and based on what we hear. We make observations on behaviors, and we make observations on attitudes, for we know when somebody's having a good day and we know when somebody's having a bad day. How do we know this? Are we working in the gifts of the Spirit? Are they operating in our lives? How do we perceive this? I'm going to tell you how. It's by their actions. It's by their demeanor. And it's by their emotions. We are constantly, without knowing, we are always making judgment calls. Judgment calls like, they are very nice. She's very mean. They have a great sense of humor. They have no humor. They are outgoing. They made me feel welcome. Thank you, Jesus. What's wrong with them? They didn't even say hi to me. They are rude. Did you hear that comment that they made? Did you see that look that they gave me? Did you feel that awkwardness when they walked by? Rude. They don't like me. And questions like that, that every one of us at one time or another, or even today, or even this morning, or even tonight when we came to church, we made observations. I'm going to tell you why we do this. It's because we notice things. We perceive things. We watch. We listen. And sometimes it's a bad thing, because sometimes we assume wrong, like the guy that went to the football game that was so mad that every time that the opposing team got in a huddle, he always thought they were talking about him. He assumed that he was that great of a guy that they would have a discussion about him, but no, they were in a huddle on what kind of offense to run.
And so sometimes it's a bad thing because we assume wrong, but many times it's a good thing because we are observant on what is transpiring around us. We are sensitive to the needs of others. God has given us the ability to uncover a lot of needs that are around us by the senses that he gave us, our eyes and our ears. We know when someone is in dire need. We know when somebody just needs a hug. We know when somebody just needs an out. We know when somebody needs help. Why? Because we're constantly watching. We're constantly observing. And so Paul states this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." If you see someone who has slipped, if you have seen someone who has fallen, if you have seen somebody that has messed up, if you've seen anybody that's ever made a mistake, if you see a man that has been overtaken in a fault, this word overtaken in the Greek, get your pens out, get your paper out, because it's an incredible meaning. And that in the Greek word overtaken, it means trapped or entangled. Well, duh, that's kind of what it sounds like. And so they were saying, brethren, they got caught in it. They got entangled in it. They can't break free from it. They're entangled. Brethren, if a man has been entangled in sin and they have fallen away, your job, brethren, you see them, you have watched them as they fell away. You've watched them make bad decisions. You've watched them make wrong choices in life. They are entangled. They are trapped. And your jobs, brothers, ye who are spiritual, are to destroy them. You're to get on Facebook and broadcast it to social media. You're to get on the phone and call the people and say, "Did you hear about so-and-so?" You are to send out a mass text and "Did you hear what happened?" Ye who are spiritual, when you have seen someone that has messed up, your job is to keep them further away from the house of God. Because a lot of us, we like to find flaws in others. I don't know what it is, but people like to pinpoint when somebody else messed up and somebody else made a mistake because it makes them hide their mistakes. And so they mask their problems because they're broadcasting somebody else's. But Paul did not state, brethren, if you see someone overtaken in a fault, he didn't say destroy. He said our job is to somehow restore them. Our job is to love them. Our job, brethren, if you see somebody entangled, if you see somebody caught in a trap, our job is to give them grace. Give them forgiveness. Help them get out of this trap. Help them get out of their dilemma. Ye who are spiritual, restore one another. We must be in the business of restoration. Dealing with sin should always have restoration in mind. We have got to be a church that becomes intentional on restoring. In this instant, restore refers to repair or put in order, but it can also mean perfect or make complete. And so dealing with sin, it's not about punishing the guilty, because they already know they're guilty. They already know they made a mess. They already know they made a mistake. And so your job is not to say, "Hey, I saw you. Hey, I watched you. Hey, I heard what you said. I've seen where you went. No, they already know that they have been overtaken. They already know that they're in a trap. They don't need someone to say, see, I told you so. They need somebody that is in the business of reconciliation. They need somebody to say, hey, there is a way out. We've got to be intentional about this. I believe the Bible says something like this: rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when you mark it down, there will be a time in your life, in your perfect, never made a mistake, always been great, always been an angel. There's going to be a day that you won't just be one of those angelic angels. You're going to be a fallen angel. And you're going to fall. And you're going to need the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness. You're going to need that. And the only way you can get that is you've got to learn to give it out. You may not have liked what they did, liked what they said, liked where they went, but we've got to be in the business to say, hey, I'm going to help you get out of that tangled mess. I'm going to help you get back out on your feet. My job is to restore. That's the spiritual men. That's the question. How spiritual are you? Well, I ain't going near him. I ain't gonna talk to her because she don't smell good. Their actions may get on over this holy cloak that I'm wearing. Really? Can we turn a spotlight on you? Can we uncover some stuff in your life? I guarantee you, if people knew who you really were, if people knew what you really did outside the four walls of this church, they'd be like, ah, who is that? Our job is not to condemn. Our job is not even to judge. Our job, if we're spiritual and we've seen somebody overtaken in a fault, our job is to restore. Our job is to help them back up. And how do we help them back up? Restore what? In the spirit of meekness. Be gentle with them. He was saying with gentleness. Now, gentleness doesn't mean saying it's okay what you've done. Gentleness does not mean it's okay what you said. I had to tell somebody one time, I said, don't mistake my kindness for weakness. Just because you're gentle, just because you're meek, you're not giving them the okay that what they've been involved in was great. Gentleness means you are clear in your intent not to harm the person, but to help them get back up. It means communicating to them in a spirit of humility, in a spirit of tenderness. It's respecting the fact that this problem, this person already feels guilty. They already feel the shame already. And gentleness is how God has always responded to mankind. And if you are what you profess to be, a Christian, Christ-like, then you got to start acting more like him and not like you. Help us, Lord, indeed, because there was a woman. Jesus never really went after, you think about it, all the drunks and all the murderers and all the people of bad reputation, he never really got on a soapbox and started hammering them. He started hammering after the religious folks, the ones that were up in there. You know what I'm saying? Like everything was good and everything. He was always talking about them. The man that came and dumped out all his thousands and the woman that just put down two mites. He said, woe unto you, scribe and Pharisee. You're just all clean on the outside, but within, full of dead men's bones. You give because you want people to see. But this woman gave all. Jesus does not see on the outside, but he sees on the inside. And if anybody ever displayed a spirit of meekness, it would have been our Savior. And we depicted it. We depict it every year. What happens? They're at where Brother Alex is. The doors come open and a woman starts to scream. Ah! Sister Sherry does it great. Sister Sherry in the building, I don't know if she is. Man, she screamed. And I was like, what in the world? And she's running and everybody is saying what? Stone her! Crucify her! The law is clear. She disobeyed the law. She committed adultery. She's worthy of death. And then they said, stone her. And all of a sudden, all those mean, poisonous words, the venom words that were throwing the blame at her, it somehow began to get caught in front of the multitude, because now it wasn't four people chasing the woman. Now it was the multitude getting behind and saying, stone her, put her to death. Anybody remember that picture? And Jesus looks at them because everybody wanted blood. Everybody tasted blood. There's something about even in the animal world. When they're young, they get hurt or they get wounded. The animal nature, they jump on that wounded one. They jump on that crippled one. And some mothers even eat their own young because they're hurt. You even look at a hamster, how adorable the hamsters are. But you look at a hamster. When their baby doesn't look good, doesn't fit in, maybe it's crippled or wounded, that hamster will devour its own baby. That is an animalistic behavior. And that's what happened that day when everybody was shouting, stone her, she's guilty of death. And yet Jesus, I don't even know what he was writing, but he was writing in the sand. I don't know what it was. Maybe my blood's stronger than that. Maybe my grace is bigger than that. I don't know what it was, but he began to write. And we know Caiaphas, the chief priest, looked at it and says, tell me, is it right for us to kill her? And the crowd and everybody felt that venomous poison that they wanted to kill someone they did not even know. There's some people that jump on social media, Facebook posts, and they join in the mob. Well, if the mob's saying it, if the majority is saying it, it's got to be right. No, it doesn't have to be right. Be careful the words that come out of your lips, because one of these days, you're going to need some mercy. One of these days, you're going to need some grace. And in a whole multitude that were yelling, stone her, put her to death. She's guilty. She deserves death. She deserves judgment. She deserves to be put to death. And Jesus looks up and he grabs the stone. And I bet the multitude are like, yeah, he's going to join in. But he takes the stone and he throws it out to the crowd. He says, let he who's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And all of a sudden, conviction set in. All of a sudden, people now, the spotlight wasn't on that woman. Now the searchlight was on them. And they're like, I know what I was doing 5 minutes ago. I know where I was last week. I know what I was involved. I know how God forgave me. And they got convicted and everybody dropped their stones and they ran away. And now, it's the master and this adulterous lady who, according to the law, should be put to death. He looks at her and says, woman, where are thine accusers? And she looks. She tries to take the tears away and the sweat in the way and the grime and the dirt and the filth away. And she looks up in a haze and she says, "There's none, Lord." And he looks at her and says, "Woman, neither do I condemn thee." The Lord is not in the business to condemn. The Lord is in the business to change, to set free. Now people say, "Well, we serve a holy God. We serve a God of love. We serve a God of mercy. He'll never send anybody to hell." You're exactly right, because he doesn't send anybody. We send where we want to go. If she was okay, and people say, well, you got to love me the way I am. Jesus loves me. He does love you. He doesn't love what you're involved in, but he loves you. Spirit of meekness does not say, it's okay to party. It's okay to make a wreck out of your life. It's okay to be an adulterer. It's okay to be a drunk. No. Spirit of meekness does not say that. But it says, restore such a one. Jesus looks at her and says, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and what? Sin no more. And all of a sudden, the guilt, the depression, the loneliness, the bad mistakes, the scars of life, now in an instant, because Jesus gave forgiveness, was able to now look at her and say, go and sin no more. That's our job. We must be in the restoring business. Well, I don't know what people are going to say if I'm friends with them. I don't know what they'll say if I go have lunch with them. They know what they were involved in. They know where they've been. Who cares? They looked at Jesus and called him a glutton, called him a wine bibber, a man that ate with sinners. And what was his response? I'm not called to those that have everything all right. I'm called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm called for those that have made mistakes, those that made a mess out of life. I'm called to go and restore and give them love and give them mercy and give them a way out. That's what our job is about. It's to restore. If we are spiritual, we've got to love one another. If we're spiritual, we've got to learn to forgive one another. If we are spiritual, we've got to learn to give people an opportunity for restoration. Why do we do that? Why did the Lord challenge us? What about this? Two words. Considering thyself. You want to sit up there in your righteous garments? I've been to church for 45 years. I remember what it was like. Back in the good old days, we didn't have padded pews, hardwood benches. We didn't have lights. We didn't have a good building. We didn't have air conditioning. Oh, those were the good old days. I'm glad I'm living in this day. I love air conditioning, although it costs $5,000. Cost a lot of money to keep us cool. But I'm glad that we're living in this era and this generation, because right now, I'm telling you, we are living in the last days. And in the last days, we're going to see some of the greatest revivals and the greatest moves of God, because God said, in the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. My job is not to point fingers and say, look what they've done. Look what they've been involved in. Look at the mess that they made. No, my job is to say, hey, look, God forgave me. He can forgive you. God turned my life around. He can turn your life around. My job is to somehow restore one another. Because there may come a day, Brother Mendez, considering myself, lest thou come a day that I'm tempted. I don't know what Paul went through. I don't know the struggle that the Apostle Paul faced, because he said in his word, I've got to die daily. He approached the Lord three different times and said, Lord, I need you to remove this thorn in my flesh. I need you to remove this temptation, this pain. It seems like I can't get away from it. And Jesus kept saying, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And you've got to realize the greatest thing you could ever do is to say, God, search this heart. Search the cracks and crevices within. If there's anything in that my life that displeases you, if it's my mind, if it's my heart, if it's my spirit, if it's unforgiveness, God, whatever it is, I'm asking tonight that you would somehow saturate me with your blood, and you'd saturate me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, because God, I need you to wash me clean. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit, because there may come a day that I'm going to need mercy and I'm going to need grace. Someone said when grace became amazing is when grace was applied to my life. There's an old song that says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I don't deserve to be here, Sister Darlene. I don't deserve to feel what we feel here in such a service after service. I don't deserve to feel this, but thank God there's a God of love. Thank God there's a God of compassion. Thank God there's a God of mercy. Thank God there's a God of restoration that's in the business to put things back together. I'm here today because of a God that has given me forgiveness and given me a new start. We're going to need somebody to pick us back up when we have fallen. If we are spiritual, we ought to restore one another. Brother Alex, would you come? I've got a long way to go. I know I'm not going to get there. Maybe we'll just take one verse every Wednesday to break it down. But I'm telling you, there are people in this church. There are people that have been to this church. Matter of fact, I text a lot of people and I reach out to a lot of people. And hopefully you do too. Monday night was an incredible night. I don't know if many of you are here, but on Monday night we had visitor cards. I don't know how many we had. We gave seven plus cards to just about everybody. We made some dials and we called and we were basically saying, hey, we want to thank you for coming to Abundant Life Center. I want to thank you for visiting us and we want you to know that we love you and we're here for you. Is there anything we can pray for? And they said that word, is there anything we can pray for? And people started praying over the phone. Then they said, would you like to have a Bible study? And there was one lady that said, yeah, I'd like to have a Bible study. She showed up. I made a call to a girl named Paula. But here's how it went. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Paula there? And then they said something in Spanish. I said, oh my goodness. And I knew a great word. I said, uno momento. And I handed it off. And they began to talk to her. And it wasn't too long that she says, this ain't Paula. And I said, well, that's okay. We got somebody on the line. invite them to church. And she did. And she said she's going to be here Sunday. And we need to pray for Lourdes. Lourdes. Yes. You know the word. You know the name. You gotta pray for this gringo pastor. But it's talking about loving people. Now, I don't know why I said all that, but I was coming to this point. I text somebody. I said, hey, we've been missing you. Been thinking about you. Love you. Like to see you again. And the text came back. And it said something like, I know. I've been thinking about coming to church. She says, but if I come, I know they're going to mob me. I know they're going to overtake me. And I replied, they're going to overtake with love. If you could take a trip down memory lane and remember where you were without God, before God loved you, before God forgave you, and you could remember what it was like laying your head on that pillow at night and feeling guilt, depression, regrets of life, loneliness, fear. If you remember those days, and then God says, you know what? I'm taking all that away, and I'm giving you peace. I'm giving you love. I'm giving you joy. I am going to restore what the thief tried to steal and the thief tried to kill. I'm here tonight on a Wednesday night to tell you that your story is not over. You may have got some bruises, you may have got some scars, but God is here today to say, are you spiritual? Because if you're spiritual, our job is to restore one another. If we're spiritual, our job is to run to Him and say, Lord, I need you to fill me up. I need you to help me, God. You see that thorn in my flesh, God, I can't take it out myself. And God, I'm in need of grace right now. You said your grace is sufficient. I'm praying, God, right now. I'm praying that you'd help every one of us, God, to run to you. We serve a God today that's not a condemner, but we serve a God that is a lover. Would you stand to your feet all across the building? I know it's a Wednesday night. We've got some time. I think it'd be good for us to gather around this altar, hands raised, with voices raised towards heaven, basically saying, God, I know I've messed up. I know I've fallen short of where I should be and what I should be involved in. But God, today I'm not coming with my head low, but I'm coming with my head raised high. Because God, I need you today. I need you to baptize me afresh and anew with your love and your mercy and your grace. Come on, everybody ought to be praying. Everybody ought to say, God, help me to become the man that you have called me to be. Help me, God, to be that instrument, God, that you could use to show people that, yeah, I may have messed up, I may have made mistakes, but to show them, God, that you have turned my life around, that they can get their life turned around. Come on, the only way we can help one another is we got to get us right first. God, help us today with a new baptism of love and a new baptism of mercy and a new baptism of forgiveness. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God, to be in the restoring business. Oh, would you lift your voices all across the building? Would you slip your arm around somebody? Would we pray with one another? Would we connect with one another? God, help us, God, to get together. Help us, God, to agree for one purpose. And that purpose is, God, to get close to you. That purpose is, God, to let you restore some things. Oh, we know that there's a thief that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. But you said in your word that you have come. You've come to give life, and not just ordinary life, but abundant life. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd breathe into us that abundant life. Oh, lift your voice all across the building. Hallelujah.
God, I trust in you. I trust in you, God. I trust in you today, God. God, I love you today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy, God. I can't do this without you, but God, I need you. Every aspect, every area of my life, I'm running to you, God. I'm running to you, God. I'm depending on you, God. Come on, that's it tonight. God, I love you. I give you me, God. I give you my heart, God. I give you my soul, God. Hallelujah. Give me strength, God. Come on, everybody, lifting up your voice. Lifting up your voice to a God that loves you. To a God that wants to give mercy. To a God that wants to restore. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Shataya korayanda yarasi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Sing. Amen. Sing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Oh. Oh, I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I was. Come on, you can't do this by yourself, but together we can. Together we can. In the name of the Lord. I trust in you, God. I trust in you, God. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you. Come on, just love him. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. 'Tis grace that taught. Hallelujah. Grace will lead me home. Oh, that's why we sing. May sing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. Sing the last part. When we've been there 10,000 years. Think about this. 10,000 years. 10,000 years. Bright shining. Even as the sea. The sea. We know. Last days. To sing God's praise. God's praise that when we first meet. And one last time with everybody singing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet the
Hallelujah. The way we take our spiritual temperature be contingent upon the results of us being a restorer. The greatest thing you could ever do is restore in love. God has laid people on your hearts, your minds. I pray that you'd pray for them, see them, visit them, call them, text them, do what you can, but love them. Amen. Find two or three people, love on somebody. God bless you as you're dismissed. In Jesus' name.